Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for Pesach programming, the Haggadah Roundtable, on Monday night, April 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern, with Slavi Youngrice-Wolf, Tal Atia, Chanam Ira Katz, and Racheli Taubis. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Pesach24. And Mazel Tov on the completion of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Join us at the Siyum with Mrs. Leah Feinberg at 12 noon Eastern, Tuesday, April 16th. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Siyum. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chavtet, Chapter 29. Following the dramatic story of Shaul and the Eshet Ba'alat Ha'ov, the necromancer in which Shaul accepted the divine judgment prophesied to him by Shmuel, the narrative now returns to where it left off as the Plishtim and the Israelites were amassing their troops in preparation for war, and Achish had appointed David as his personal bodyguard as a sign of the trust between them. As our parak opens, the Plishtim were gathering all their troops at Afek, and Yisrael was camped at the spring of Yisrael. These designations tell us just how far the situation with the Plishtim had deteriorated since the death of Shmuel, Shaul's single-minded pursuit of David, which distracted him from his battles against the Plishtim, and David's flight from Israel. The last mention of the Plishtim had come when the forces of Shaul and David were circling one another in the Judean desert, and Shaul's men were about to capture David when a messenger arrived saying that the Plishtim had infiltrated the land, and Shaul was forced to abandon his pursuit of David to fend off the Plishtim. We are not told in that instance where the incursion of the Plishtim took place, only that when Shaul finished dealing with them, he immediately resumed his pursuit of David. Before that, the Plishtim had been terrorizing the people of Keilah, a city just within the border of Yehuda, until David came to their defense. And before that, the last we had seen of the Plishtim was when they were in retreat from David, when they had been pushed back to within their own borders. Now, the Plishtim have reached the area of Afek, which is north of what is today Tel Aviv, near Rosh Ha'ayin in the Sharon region. So really far north of Eretz Plishtim. And the impending battle will see the Plishtim advance through the hills and valleys of Yisrael all the way to the Gilboa. This is significantly north and east of the land of Plishtim, and again indicates the decline of the Israelite position as the attention of the king was diverted from national concerns to personal ones. Another sign of the confidence of the Plishtim and the extent to which they intend to battle is the massive army that they brought to the front, which included all the principalities of the Plishtim in their hundreds and thousands, with David and his men bringing up the rear in the company of Achish. When the officers of the Plishtim noticed David and his men, Vayomru Sarei Plishtim, Maha Ivrim Ha'ele, in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, they said to Achish, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" Mitzudat Zion explains that Hebrews is simply another word for the people of Israel, alluding to the fact that their ancestors came from across the river, just as Abraham is called Abraham Ha'ivri. However, Da'at Sofrim explains that this term has negative connotations, identifying the Israelites as a foreign element, implying they don't belong here. Vayomer Achish al Sarei Plishtim, Halo ze David, Eved Shaul Melech Yisrael, asher haya iti ze yamim o ze shanim, velo matzati bo meuma, miyom noflo ad hayom hazeh. And Achish responded, "But this is David. He was formerly the servant of Shaul, king of Israel. But he's been with me these days or years, and I have never had cause to find any fault with him from the day he fell in with me until today." Radak explains the somewhat opaque phrase, "Ze yamim o ze shanim." Is it days or is it years? He says it indicates that although David has really only been with Achish for a short time, Achish claims that he knows him so well, it's as if he's been there with him for years. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayiktzefu alav sarei plishtim, vayomru lo sarei plishtim, hashevet ha'ish, v'yashov el mekomo asher hifkadato shan, ולא ירד עמנו במלחמה, ולא יהיה לנו לשטן במלחמה, ובמה יתרצה זה אל אדוניו, הלא בראשי האנשים ההם. The Plishti princes became very angry with Achish, and they said to him, send him back where he came from, for he may not go to war with us, lest he sabotage us in battle. For what better way for him to reconcile himself to his former master than by providing him with our heads? After all, is this not David, of whom the people sing, saying Shaul has defeated thousands, and David tens of thousands? Achish called David, and he swore in the name of Hashem that he knows that David is upright and trustworthy, and that in his opinion, it would have been right for David to go out to war alongside him, for he has never found fault with him from the day he came to him until today. But the Plishti governors disagree and insist that David return home. Radak explains that Achish swore in the name of Hashem because everyone, even idolaters, know that Hashem is the first cause. And since he was swearing to David, he swore in the name of the God in whom he believes. Da'at Sofrim suggests either that Achish actually swore in the name of his own God, but the Navi adjusted the language when writing the Sefer, or that perhaps David had some spiritual influence over Achish, which didn't last and is therefore not recorded explicitly. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Vayomer David el Achish, Ki me'asiti, u'ma matata be'avdecha miyom asher hayiti lefanecha ad hayom hazeh, ki lo avo v'nilchamti be'oivei Adoni HaMelech. David then said to Achish, what have I done? What fault have you found in your servant that I should be prevented from going out to battle, to wage war against the enemies of my lord the king? Malbim explains that even though Achish had not relayed the specific suspicions of the Plishti governors, David understood the implications very well. And although he rejoiced inwardly at his own dismissal, he was not yet satisfied, because only he himself was dismissed. But the expectation was still that his men would remain to fight alongside the Plishtim. Therefore, he argued that, well, okay, if the governors don't trust him to be the king's bodyguard, surely they wouldn't object if he fought as a regular soldier along with his men. And Achish responded, I know that you are a good man. In my eyes, you are like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Plishti governors are adamant that you not go up with us to battle. So now you and your men who have accompanied you rise early in the morning and leave at first light. And the Malbim here continues the line of thought that he began above, saying that Achish was compelled to include David's men in the decree of the Plishti officers so as not to cause David further embarrassment. It would have been a great indignity to David to be told that he was suspected individually of treason while his men, who were his inferiors, would be allowed to remain. So therefore, Achish played right into David's hands and dismissed the entire company. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayashkem David hu va'anashav lalechet baboker lashuv el eretz plishtim u'plishtim alu Yisrael. So David and all his men arose early in the morning to return to the land of Plishtim, and the Plishtim advanced to Yisrael, where Yisrael was camped and the battle would begin. Thank you for learning together. Li'ilui nishmot imhotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer alea shalom and Sarah Schenker alea shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.